Just about any elementary school teacher will tell you that kids are not getting as much science as they used to. Just how much less is a tougher question, since only a handful of studies have attempted to track it over the last decade. But Frances Eberle with the National Science Teachers Association says it's no piddly amount.
In some cases, it's dropped 30 or even 40%.
He says there are two reasons.
One is the annual testing requirement under the No Child Left Behind law, which focuses just on reading and mathematics. So many schools have just been focusing in those areas.
No Child Left Behind actually does require testing in science every few years, but those scores are not factored into a school's annual yearly progress, that make or break number. So even though New Mexico has clear science benchmarks for every grade level, there's just not a lot of incentive for teachers or administrators to worry about science outcomes.
Another reason for reduction in time has more to do with the qualifications of the teacher.
Again, Frances Eberle.
It's about 75% of teachers on a national survey said they were qualified or felt qualified to teach language arts, where only 25% felt they were qualified to teach science.
That's not the case for fifth grade teacher Sandra Goldberg, who has a master's degree in environmental conservation. She says she tries to teach an hour of science each day to her students at La Merced Elementary in Berlin by integrating it into their reading lessons. According to one 2007 report, that's about twice the national average for instructional time in science. Still, she says it doesn't feel like enough.
What I've heard is that teachers in middle school are saying that our kids don't have the vocabulary they need for middle school science. And I agree, they probably don't, but there's not enough time in the day to allow to teach science or, you know, social studies all the time. So it's really frustrating.
The argument could be made, and is, that if a kid can't read well by the time she gets to middle school, that's going to be a much bigger obstacle in learning science than a little bit of missing vocabulary. But advocates for science education say children are not just vessels to be filled with information. The benefit of science, they say, is that it gives kids tools to make connections in what they're learning. On this day, Goldberg has brought her class to the nearby Whitfield Wildlife Conservation Area. She brought them here last year as fourth graders, too, and she says they're still talking about it.
They talk about the pond. They talk about being tired walking around, but mainly the pond and where we sat under the cottonwoods to eat lunch.
I'm hoping to see the pond back here again and see the birdhouse.
Sydney Valdez says what she learned last year was how to look around.
Look on the floor to see like owl pellets, or look in the trees because last time we saw like a animal inside.
Valdez may still be calling the ground the floor, but whatever. At least she's looking at it. And she says soon after her last trip to Whitfield, she even noticed a crane.
I never saw a crane before. That was my first time.
This is the point of these trips, says Molly Madden, the volunteer education coordinator at Whitfield, and the point of teaching science at a young age.
It's not a biology lesson, and it's not name that plant, name that animal. It's just to recapture the sense of wonder that children have. I mean, we have to beat it out of them. They have it.
Unfortunately, says Chris Modelski, a lot of the kids he sees are already losing it. Modelski works for the Sandia Mountain Natural History Center, which leads ecology trips for almost all the fifth graders in Albuquerque and some in other parts of the state. He blames No Child Left Behind as having taught students to see everything as a multiple choice test.
What we see a lot is we'll ask a question and students will just start listing through vocabulary words to match the right vocabulary word with a question. They know at some point if they go through enough of the vocabulary words, eventually it will be correct.
Modelski's observations about a lack of critical thinking here are supported by test results. When U.S. fourth graders were last tested in science in 2009, only a third were deemed proficient. In New Mexico, only a quarter were proficient.
Step one in science is asking questions. You know, if they're not out looking at a crane, they're not going to ask, hey, what's that?
And that's the catch-22 here. Under No Child Left Behind, as a school's scores in reading and math worsen, more time is devoted to intervention, meaning even less time for science and for the cultivation of that curiosity that could lead to better scores in all areas. But for now, it is what it is. And that leaves the question, how to make sure kids are taught science in the current reality?
Can those seeds from the prairie bundle flower, can they get up and run somewhere else and plant themselves?
No.
Paul Mauerman with Sandia Mountain Natural History Center says programs like his could be a big help.
It's actually a time saver for teachers because we're the ones that can take the kids out, run the program, do the legwork and the logistic work for them. If they were to try and do this program on their own, they would have to find the place, learn the content information, think about the activities.
And he offers this bit of advice for any agencies out there interested in funding science education.
There's not a lack of facilities to get kids out. It's not a matter of if you build it, they will come. You know, there are tons of state parks, places like this. There's 5 national forests within New Mexico. All of these places the kids can get out to. It's not a lack of places to go. It's a lack of people to take them.
And to reinstill that sense of wonder. On the Conservation Beat, I'm Sissel Overgaard, KUNM.
Good. And what about the location of that scat? What did we talk about? What do coyotes like to do? They like to...